Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and by appointment. More information at 530-898-9525. State Give and Take, I'm going to interview Sang Yang. He's with the Hmong Cultural Center in Oroville. And welcome, Sang. I'm so happy that we got to connect.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you today, Bobby.
Yes. And KZFR does have a Hmong programming show on Sundays at 6 a.m.
That's right.
Yep. And it's a couple that does news and music and local information about Thai and Lao cultures.
Yeah, that's right. The Chua Hmong show on Sunday morning, it's catching the local news, what really happened in the community. I also catch the news that surrounding the country that we have the Hmong live, such Lao, Thailand, and other countries, Vietnam and China as well. And that's mm-hmm. the country that have the Hmong live. And also, entertainment is really important for the Hmong community as well. Education as well.
Yes.
A resource for the community.
Sure. And it's been on the air for quite a long time.
It has been for a while back.
Years.
It's a long time. I don't really call what year, but I think it's a long, yes.
It's been there a long time. That's well, I'm so glad to talk to you about the center. This is in Oroville, right?
Yes.
And how long have you been there, the center? How long has the center been there?
The center has been here a little while. We are 22 years old organization. First, the center was a start in Chico, which started with Mr. Low, who's the first executive director with the center in Chico, from 2000 to 2005. After 2005, the board decided that we, the Hmong, it's Oroville is the most center for the Hmong community. We have more Hmong live in Oroville than any other place here in Butte County. So the center relocated from Chico to Oroville since 2005.
Okay. Oh, that's quite a while.
And, that's right.
And then there's an office there and a number of people working at that center every day?
Yes. Hmong Cultural Center is a nonprofit organization, which we provide resources and also we have a program for the community as well. We have an hour which we open Monday to Friday from 8 to 12 and 1 to 5. And now we just have a new program for the youth. And Tuesday and Thursday will be a program for the youth from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. for the youth.
And is that to kind of talk about the Hmong culture with them, with the youth particularly?
Yeah, we have multiple subjects that are talking with the youth. And number one, we would like to share with the youth and to keep the culture, to keep the language for the youth, teach them in Hmong, because many of the youth, they don't really speak in Hmong as well, even though they are Hmong, but they don't really speak in Hmong because the parents at home speak English most of the time. You know, the young parents who is 30 and late 40 or early 40, you know, they're pretty well in English. So the whole family is speaking English. So Hmong Cultural Center is a center that will share and will educate and will teach and the youth to speak Hmong. And other than that, we also have, you know, teach the use for advocacy to help themselves, the family, and the community as well. And we also help them with the homework. The most important that, you know, do the homework so they can pass the class and they can graduate from wherever, you know, middle school and high school and go to college. And that higher education is also be part of the youth program. Mm-hmm.
So some of these kids probably can't really relate to Laos or Thailand at all because they were born here.
Absolutely. They cannot relate anything about that because they don't have any experience with their parents or maybe their grandma and grandpas came from and they don't really have that experience and they don't really know. But you know, is the center's, you know, job that we will teach them and we will share our experience, you know, sure, where the parents and, you know, and grandma and grandpa's coming from and how difficult that was. And yes, that is something that we also share with the youth.
Yes, the actual history of
that history.
Yes, yes.
And also to let you know that for the past couple of years, we have the grant from the state for the California Reducting Disability. That's with the state. And we also publicize a book called The Storybook, which each participant, they write on their own story when they came to the United States, how difficult that was. And, you know, we got that book and we also shared that with a lot of the kids. We'll share that with a lot of the community member. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of this day we'll give one for you so you can have that one as well.
Yeah. And do the kids appreciate it? And are they kind of surprised just to learn about...
Yeah, they all really appreciate it. You know, a lot of time they don't really know. Sometimes because the mom, the dad don't really speak and they don't share with the culture with them, you know, that. And by reading the book, that's something that they really appreciate. Also, I also, as mentioned earlier, that, you know, we also teach them how to, you know, keep the Hmong culture. Example here, we often call, you know, we in the Hmong culture, we have two sides. We have a mom side and dad side. And the mom side, all the title of a mom side is totally different. All the title of a dad side is totally different. We don't say grandma or grandpa. That is not how we call. You know, on the mom side, we have a title, really special. Grandma and grandpa of the mom side, we call Nia Tai Yu Zi. So that is, when you say that, you know exactly that, oh, that's my mom, mom and dad. And for the father's side, we call Ba and Yo. That is grandma and grandpa. So grandma and grandpa is dad's side. And grandma and grandpa of mom's side, we don't call grandma and grandpa. We have a title for it.
I see.
And also plus, we do have, for example, my dad's younger brother and older sister, we call differently. For the older sister, older brother, we call Claw. And for the younger brother for my dad's side, we call Zinza. And also for the mom's side, all the brother of mom's side only have one name, we call Da Long. And all the, you know, mom's sister, we call Nia Dai. On the dad's side, for the dad's sister, we call auntie, which is aunt, but we call Po. So, you know, as a mom tradition, when you stay at home and there is a visitor, and when you know that, they say, Da Long, That means, you know, exactly that, oh, that is it from my mom's side. And when they say, Clark, oh, yeah, he is my dad's side. You know, so it's pretty clear in there.
Yes.
So yeah, this is something that we would like the kids to know, you know, not just say uncle, you know, your mom's side, you say uncle, your dad's side, you say uncle. No, that is not the tradition in the Hmong community.
Yes.
We do have a special title that which our parents have been, you know, called that for centuries, and we still want to continue that.
Yes.
So in doing so, you know, when the elderly see you call them Dalo or Fla, that means they say, okay, yeah, this boy is, or this, you know, young boy or young girl, it's been respect in the family.
Yes. Yeah. So teaching them that respect and teaching those things to them, which in this culture really does get diluted for them.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, when I was an undergraduate with the Chico State, we have I believe the geology or the geography class that, you know, way back to 1997, 98.
Okay.
That's during the time. And, you know, when the professor say, okay, we would like you to come and, you know, take a course day, you know, to teach your culture in the commute, in the whole classroom. So that's what we taught. And back then, whether we taught, we say, you know, for the Hmong, we have in the family work, but we don't have a technology. You know, the technology, we don't have any work for the technology, but we do have work for the family. We know exactly, you know, every single one in the family, mom or dad side, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the professor also said, keep that word, because you know what, you know, later or sooner, and that will come back, and keep that word. Don't lose. That's what you say. So absolutely, we will keep those here in the United States so we can have that.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet some of these younger kids kind of teach it to their parents, mm-hmm. who maybe missed some of that, because that their parents being in the middle,
right?
Kind of the, not the elders that actually probably came here from either Laos or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of in the middle and missed some of the cultural things. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. And we also have some of the kids, we don't have them here yet in Bibb County, but in Sacramento, we do have a Hmong charter school, which they really also teach Hmong. And we also have some of the school down in Sacramento that with the Sacramento school district, which we have the immersion class, and they also have a Hmong. And the kids, you know, they learn, they catch pretty quick.
Yeah.
I have a cousin, you know, who live in here, but both mom, you know, my cousin and both, you know, work in Sacramento, and they come in back and forth, but they also have that endowed there, and they enroll the kids to the one on the mm-hmm. immersion school. And, you know, that boy speak mom is pretty well now. He speak mom pretty well. And, my cousin also told me that, man, this boy, you know, sometimes he also be my translator as well, you know, and he's doing pretty well. So I,
That's so good.
Cool.
Well, that's so good, because if you don't do that, it will just go away.
Right.
So
absolutely.
It's good. Yeah, it's so
absolutely.
Good. You've been listening to a pre-recorded interview with Sang Yang from the Hmong Cultural Center in Orrville. And stay tuned, and we'll be back for the second half. And you're tuned in to 90.1 FM KZFR Chico. My name's Bobby Tryon, and the show is North State Give and Take. Back to my interview with Sang Yang from the Hmong Cultural Center in Orrville. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico. This is North State Give and Take, and my name is Bobby Tryon.
Hmong Cultural Center, often when we have some visitor, that I also often say that Hmong Cultural Center will be a second home to the Hmong community, because we would like to preserve and to keep all as much as we can. So, you know, not right now, but hopefully by the next 5, 10, 20 some year, You know, when your person, anyone who come to the center, visit the center, they probably know exactly, oh, yeah, that is a mom. You know, that's a mom. That's totally, it's not mine. It is a mom. So we would like to keep that. We need to build that here in the center. So that means we'll keep the culture alive.
Absolutely. So now you do have a festival, or what is the celebration that happens sometimes, and when is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are going to have events coming on August 13th. That is a Saturday, which is from 10 to 2. And on that Saturday, and this we call Bay Family Fun Day. Bay, which means it's a we family fun day. And often what we really do that is to share the resource of the community, to invite organization to share the resource. And also, we also have family here to together to socialize on that day. And we support, Bay Family Fun Day is a day that we would like to support the kids going back to school, because August is the month that they're going to go back to the school year, so starting school year. And that's what we do. We support that, and we will give backpack to some of the kids. We will not be able to get to everybody, but the first 40 or 50 family that who's come first, they will get some the backpack for the kids, and also school supply to support the kid to go back to school. Mm-hmm. But oftenly, we do have other events such like the New Year. The New Year, here in Duke County, we haven't had since the COVID, but hopefully we might have in the future. Oftenly happen in second week of October, right? In all
second week.
Yes, second week of October in all over in the past, but I haven't heard from the Hmong community. In all over, we do have an organization called the Hmong United Community, which in the president and officer was elected by the Hmong community for every 2 years. And because of COVID, sometimes that we haven't heard, but hopefully we probably not going to have that event for this year. Hope we might have in the future, but near the future, but not this year. With the Hmong New Year, we pretty much count to the Lunar New Year, which it happened during the Thanksgiving. And that's what we think that is the Lunar New Year is ending. And for that,
that's when that is. Yeah.
Yeah. And during that New Year, we have a tossing bowl. That is a game that for the younger and the young boy and the young girl, back to where we came from, all the boy and the girl is working on the farm, or working on the field, and they're pretty busy with the parents. They don't have a chance to go out. And during the New Year, it's the chance to go out, to be with a friend, to be with their family member, and it's time for them to choose their fiance and something like that. So that's what the purpose of the ball. And during that events, we also have food or table foods, which is a more traditional, the sticky rice. We have a rice. We have a food that is more into traditional as well in the past, but we will not have this year, and hopefully
and everyone's welcome to that event, both of these events.
It's open to the public. Everyone welcome
both of them. And what's the address of the center?
The center is the address is 1704 Oloden Boulevard West.
Okay. How many people are in the Hmong community?
Well, based on the Hmong organization, we have a couple of organizations. Like I mentioned, the Hmong United, the Hmong Culture, and some of the organization, and we estimate that in all over, we might have about 5,000 to 6,000 Hmong living all over, and we might have about we do have a people Hmong living in Jigo, Greeley, Bits, Palamo, surroundings. The total Butte County Hmong population, we also estimate that we might have about less than 10,000 Hmong, between 8,000 to 9,000 Hmong living in Butte County.
And then you said there's this United. And do, you know, most Hmong people connect up together? I mean, I know they must meet and, like you said, choose a leader in that United.
Yeah. That is the organization that was established by the Hmong. And that is particularly in all the world, but we do have that organization that, the leader was elected by the Hmong community.
To
elect that leader to represent the Hmong community for every 2 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they work with you, I'm sure.
Right. They work with me, and they also work with the community as well.
Nice.
And all the community organization, the elected official, or those in case something going on, something like that, or want to reach out to the Hmong community. And Hmong Cultural Center is one, but Hmong Unite is the elected official that is to represent the Hmong community.
Okay. And how do you support yourself? How does the center keep itself going? That's always a big one.
Yeah, pretty much based on the grant that we are writing grant, and also we have a large number of contract that which we do translation, and we also charge a little bit for the translation to support the county. The organization. And that is what we do. And also, we also have some donate from the community as well. You know, people can donate for us. Example, when they came here, when we do the service, they can donate any dollar, to help the center to grow.
Are the grants kind of not easy to get, but they're pretty steady so that you feel pretty confident that you're financially okay?
The organization is small. Our organization, we don't got a really big grant because based on the community and something like that. But we got a small grant, either a year, 2 year, or 3 year, or 4 year, or 5 year. That's the most. And after that, we had to. Go hunt for another grant to support. You're right. It's really high competition for the grant, but because of the need of the community, and often I share that with all the organization. The Hmong Cultural Center, and we don't have a grant writer that who is really expertise. Our manager team just help each other to write a grant and support each other. We don't have the money to hire some expertise that who is really good at writing grant.
We cannot
do that because we don't have the funding to pay for that. But just our manager level to help each other to write a grant. And we got the grant not because we are good writing grant or really good reputation, but we got a grant because the need of the community.
Yes.
When they see the need of the community, then that's what we got a grant.
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah. Do some people volunteer to be in the office with you?
Yeah, we do. We do have our people volunteer the office with us, but oftenly when our elderly, for example, we do have the garden, and the garden is the elderly coming to volunteer to work around the garden to help and so they'll come to work in the garden to teach staff how to work in the garden, and also to teach the kids, the youth to work in the garden as well. So
sure.
We have both elderly, and we also have some community members who are volunteering the center for some of the program and for some of the hours that we open at the center as well.
So anyone can stop in and see the garden
and
meet you.
That's right. The garden, the corn is a harvest, but we still have the rice and also other like the cucumber, the pumpkin, also have bean and lettuce and pepper and lemongrass, wow. All those still there. And uh-huh. Anyone can stop by to see the garden. The garden is the beauty of the Hmong culture.
I love it. And that's at 1704 Oroville Dam Boulevard.
Bolivar West.
West.
And the number here is 530-534-7474.
Okay, 530.
534.
Uh-huh.
7474.
Okay.
And you can email to us too, info@hmongculturalcenter.net.
Got it. And if anybody would like to donate, is there a website where you can donate?
Yes. Our website at the center is www.hmongculturalcenter.net. And you would go there, you will see the update that we put it out, such as the event that we have, the program. And that we have, and we staff put a lot of that into the our Facebook. And when you go there, you click on the Facebook. So we have a news, and that it's anything that is coming or new, it's on that.
Okay. Well, website. You got somebody there that knows how to do some technology. That's good.
yeah, we do. For the staff, they're pretty good on technology.
They're pretty good. Yeah.
Staff for the youth, but not for the elderly.
Yes.
We have a senior program that we have over 80 plus participants for the senior program, which during the COVID-19, those senior, we have a quite large number that they stay by themselves. They live for themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't, their family, don't come visit them. They can talk to the family, but talk to the phone, the flip phone that, they don't have technology and they don't really see their relative, their cousin or their friend, for a year, something like that.
Yeah.
So that is technological difficulty for the elderly. Mm-hmm. We do have
that was hard.
Difficulty, yeah. Challenge.
I want to get the website and make sure I'm right. And is it www.hmongculturalcenter.net?
That's right.
And Hmong is spelled Hmong.
CulturalCenter.net.
Okay. So there's the place to go to get more information and to donate. What a good nonprofit. I so appreciate you. And like you said, I kind of forgot about, if you don't have technology and you're already a little isolated, boy, those 2 years must have been just awful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the door, having the doors open and having people come. Can people come and hang out at the center?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can come and you can stop by anytime and during our operation hour, Monday to Friday from 8 to 12 and 1 to 5. And Tuesday and Thursday, we also add additional for the youth from 5 to 7 for that. And you can stop by any question you want to learn more about the Hmong. So, you can stop by anytime, by, talk to staff here and visit our garden. You can do that. That might be great.
Great. Yang, thank you for talking to me. I so appreciate you and what you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me today.
And I think I might head over to Oroville one of these days, and I know exactly where you are. I'll come visit.
Thank you. And come over with us.
I'd like to. All right. Okay. Thanks, Yang.
Thank you.
You just heard a pre-recorded interview with Sang Yang from the Hmong Cultural Center in Oroville. If you'd like to be on North State Give and Take, please call me or text me at 530-520-1593. And if you'd like to hear this interview or any of my other interviews, you can find them at the KZFR website. If you go to the website and you go to the Programs tab and you go to Tuesdays, go down and you'll find North State Give and Take, and all my shows are archived there. Also, North State Give and Take is on Tuesdays at 6 and Thursdays at 5, so you can catch it at that time again. All right, thanks for listening to North State Give and Take and KZFR, and stay tuned for Ginger.
Why don't we begin?